This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for joining us. Today I want to talk about whether you should return your PPP or your Paycheck Protection Program loan in the next few weeks or few days. This seems like an odd thing to actually even discuss based on the way the CARES Act was written. So just a little bit of background. Under the CARES Act, there was specifically put in place what's known as the Paycheck Protection Program. This is probably the most publicized portion of the CARES Act. And in recent weeks, we've seen a lot of bad press coming from it. So let's just take a step back and remember what the Paycheck Protection Program is. So the Paycheck Protection Program, Section 1102 and 1106 of the CARES Act, and really that got into whether or not companies could get funding to help keep their people on payroll, keep their operations moving, everything else. And what it amounted to is you would go through a calculation and your maximum loan amount is 2.5 times your monthly payroll. And then you get forgiven on what you spend in the 8 weeks after you get your loan on payroll, rent, covered mortgage interest, and utility costs. So some basic operational costs. And this was supposed to be for businesses that were small business concerns or businesses with less than 500 people if they did not already fit under the small business concerns. So that 500, just keep in mind, that's an expansion of what was defined as a small business concern. So if you're a small business concern, if you have less than 500 people, or if you specifically are a North American Industry Classification System Code business, beginning with 72. So people in the restaurant, hotel industry, et cetera, in those cases, they look at that 500 person limit as a per location limit, not as a per business unit limit. So what that means is you could have restaurants with thousands of locations that are all owned by one business. They can look at it as each individual location. And that's how you determine your eligibility, et cetera. Then the borrower needs to come in and put together a certification. The eligible recipient applying for a covered loan needs to make a good faith certification that the uncertainty of current economic conditions makes necessary the loan request to support the ongoing operations of the eligible recipient. And you acknowledge that the funds will be used to retain workers, maintain payroll, or make mortgage payments, lease payments, utility payments, et cetera. So that's where we're starting from. And then what's happened is Treasury's gotten some bad press over it about the implementation. And this really started when the funds first started running out before they were reauthorized. And there's been a number of publicly kind of scorned upon cases. The first ones being from the restaurant area. We saw Shake Shack, Ruth Chris, the parent company for Ruth Chris, as well as other ones receiving these loans. And now most of those have actually said they're going to pay them back, but they received them. Now I will point out, restaurants are specifically included in the law. The law was actually designed for larger restaurant groups to be able to get this because they are large employers. And the whole purpose of this law was to keep people employed while working. Now there are companies, there are also businesses like the Lakers, the LA Lakers, that have been well publicized. Whether or not they were in the design is questionable. Obviously, do they need it to support ongoing operations? No. Are they going to see a significant reduction in their income? Yes. And that actually raises a big question. Well, what happens to a business that needs it to keep going because of changes in operations? Maybe they have to revamp what they're doing, but they don't see the reduction in income, or companies that see a huge reduction in income. So there's a lot of question marks. And that uncertainty is really one of the key things that they don't really understand. What is uncertainty? And what is necessary? So remember that that certification says it's necessary due to the economic uncertainty to get this loan. And that's one of the questions that have come up, and this is something that people have been wrestling with. And really then Mnuchin came out, Secretary Mnuchin came out and basically said that anyone who received a loan of more than $2 million, the proceeds would be audited before they were forgiven, and that they would go after potentially penalties for people that did not make that statement in good faith. So, and this is question 31 primarily that we're talking about in the FAQs that Treasury has released. And so the question then comes in, and just so you know what question 31 is, said, do businesses owned by large companies with adequate sources of liquidity to support business ongoing operations qualify for a PPP loan? And the answer actually talks about all businesses. It actually says, in addition to reviewing applicable affiliation rules to determine eligibility, all borrowers must address their economic need for a PPP loan under the standard established by the CARES Act and the PPP regulations. It goes on to say, although the CARES Act suspends the ordinary requirement that borrowers must be unable to obtain credit elsewhere, borrowers must still certify in good faith that their PPP loan request is necessary. Specifically, before submitting a PPP application, all borrowers should review carefully the required certification that current economic uncertainty makes this loan request necessary to support ongoing operations of the applicant. Now the question then comes in, well, what does that mean? What is that need? And is there a, how do you prove that need? And this is something that there have been many articles published back and forth. And really what it comes down to is, what is that definition of necessary? And this is vague, and there's a question, as I've seen many articles actually questioning the constitutionality of that because of the vagueness of it. The laws can't be so vague that people can't interpret them. And the question being, how long are we supposed to be looking at economic uncertainty? Take a business that had a really good first quarter, but maybe is running off of a limited ability to access capital. If salaries are a high portion of their business, maybe their profit margins are not that large and they can't continue ongoing operations for that long without having some liquidity. They might not necessarily, during their 8-week period of payback, they might not need that liquidity at that point in time because they had a good first quarter. But if they look at the long-term nature of this, what does that mean? You look at people that are in the public safety space, whether it is Fauci that has been out speaking at presidential press conferences, or if you look at Bill Gates, they're saying that some type of vaccine may take years to develop, and that life might not go back to normal for years. Well, is the economic uncertainty over that period of time, or is the economic uncertainty over a shorter period of time? And they don't really answer that question. And really what this comes down to is, this is going to be extremely hard for Treasury to enforce any of these stipulations or prove any of these stipulations. And I would argue that they probably shouldn't be. That was not the design of this law. You can go back and listen to many discussions of economists prior to the CARES Act coming out. And they said some of the stimuli that came out during the economic recession, one of the problems was there were so many stipulations on it that the money didn't flow through the system quickly enough. And that was part of the reason that those stimuli did not keep the economy going at that point in time to the level that they should have. And so they specifically said, when we come out with this stimuli, you don't want to have too many stipulations on it, which is why those checks directly to taxpayers, that $1,200 check, was sent out almost to anybody under a certain income limitation that might need it. There were no need requirements. And that actually goes to the way the Paycheck Protection Program was designed. It was designed without a lot of those need requirements. By putting them in after the fact, which is what Treasury is trying to do, it really is diluting the ability for this to flush income into the economy. Or money into the economy, and the ability for businesses to retain employees. The entire purpose of this was to keep people off of unemployment. And I would argue that by doing this, Treasury is really muddying these waters and making people concerned. Take an office building, an office company, where you're sitting in an office. Maybe some of their people are still working from home, but they're seeing a reduction in gross receipts. But do they need the receptionist that they had? Do they need the filing clerk that they had? They might go through. Do they need some of their newer staff people if they're seeing a 20% contraction in the business? That 20% contraction might mean that this loan is necessary to continue operations and keep their people employed, but would the business go under without it? Possibly, possibly not. And they don't really answer a lot of these questions. You'll notice in the last few weeks, Treasury's been doing a lot of things which undercut some of the benefits of this program, and a lot of it's due to this bad press. The other one that we've talked about in other podcasts and other articles is Notice 2020-32, where Treasury has changed some of the taxability of this forgiveness. So right there, a business that remains operational and actually creates taxable income during this time, let's say that they are taxed at a 30% federal tax rate, you've already reduced the benefit of this by 30% by making it taxable. Additionally, there's these programs where they're questioning it. And finally, Treasury has not come out and really defined how the forgiveness portion of this bill will work. There's still a lot of questions. If you are a business owner that is a 1099 business owner, how does the forgiveness work? Because obviously, it's based on the income you make over the next 8 weeks. But if you're a 1099 sole practitioner, what does that mean? If you are, for example, working as a, let's say you are working at a gym as a fitness instructor, and they give you a 1099 miscellaneous at the end of the year saying exactly how much you made. Now, that's how you calculated your 2.5 months, but how do you calculate your forgiveness if you're not actually taking that? Because most of them don't have business accounts. They don't have payroll that they can pay. These are questions that Treasury really needs to answer, and I would argue that they're spending a little bit too much time worrying about the margins of who might be taking advantage of it instead of looking at where we need to really spend the time, which is the people that really need it that still have unanswered questions. We do appreciate the fact that this loan program is around, and I think it has helped a lot of businesses. But it is important that we don't spend too much time worrying about some of this coming out. I do think it's gotten some bad press lately, and I do think that Treasury has really pushed back because of the notable people that have taken it, like Ruth Chris, like Shake Shack, like the Lakers. But I would not put too much emphasis on the fact that they're pushing back right now, as I don't think that this will be something that is able to stand up. That necessary to maintain operations is so vague that it's going to be hard to prove one way or another. I appreciate you listening today, and I look forward to speaking of any of you in the near future. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire @McGuireSponsel.com.